Welcome to your own health and fitness talk show. I'm Lena Berman, and I'll be here live with you on Tuesdays at noon, talking to you about healthcare and fitness trends and taking your calls. Today's show is called Arthritis, Using Your Everyday Life as a Healing. My guest is Darlene Cohn, body worker and author of the new book, Arthritis, Stop Suffering, Start Moving, Everyday Exercises for Your Body and Mind. I'll be interviewing her for the first half hour, and then as usual, I'll open up the phone lines during a brief musical break, and you'll be invited to participate in the show with your questions, which we'll take right on the air. Before I introduce Darlene to you, I'd like to share some thoughts I've had about next week's show. I'll be talking to you alone next week, with your phone calls, of course, about the dangers of underresting and overtraining in exercise, as well as going over some of what I call safer exercise training tips. One reason I wanted to talk to you about underresting is that we already have talked on the show some about chronic illness, and something that came up was in the context of chronic illness is that quite a number of people who are ill have been very driven, intense people at one time. Now, I'm not saying that this has to be so, but one of the adaptations that chronic illness teaches is the necessity for rest. It'd be nice if people could understand how important this concept is in the prevention of injury and illness. When people start to exercise, they seem to either have difficulty finding something suited enough to them to encourage them to continue, or they love it so much that they overdo it. The trick in getting exercise to work efficiently is to remember that your body responds to the stimulus you present to it during rest and sleep. If you do more exercise than your body can adapt to in the time you give it, it simply won't respond and improve. More importantly, if you continue to underrest and overtrain, all the benefits of exercise will be reversed. While an appropriate amount of training will burn fat and increase your immunity, too much exercise will slow down your body's ability to burn fat and use fuel efficiently, and it will increase your susceptibility to upper respiratory infections. So I'd like you to remember that the body adapts slowly and incrementally. The key to knowing how much to do is to stop exercising when you feel good. If you feel fatigued after training, you probably did more than your body can adapt to within a day or two's rest. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't challenge your capacity. I'm saying that rest is as important as exercise, and sometimes it's more important. And I'll talk more about this next week. Let me now introduce today's guest, and let's get into our subject of arthritis. Darlene Cohn, who's here with us today, and I really want to thank you for coming over to be with us.
Thank you, Lena. I'm delighted to come.
It's always a pleasure. Darlene is a certified movement therapist and has a master's degree in physiological psychology from Connecticut College for Women. She lives and practices in San Francisco, where she lectures at senior centers, hospitals, and rehabilitation centers, and she is the author of a new book called Arthritis, Stop Suffering, Start Moving, The Ultimate Self-Care Drug-Free Arthritis Treatment Plan. So this is going to be a very important show. We're going to go over quite a lot of information today, so let's get into it. Darlene, you developed a style of body work incorporating everyday gentle exercises from your own experiences with rheumatoid arthritis. I'd like you to read a little from the preface of your book and then explain how your treatment plan differs from more traditional ones.
Thanks, Lena. I'd like that opportunity to read from my book. I'm quite fond of it. In the preface, I talk about when I developed rheumatoid arthritis. I was a relatively young woman. I was 35 years old, and it was 1977. I was living on a somewhat isolated farm in Marin County. I had never had any contact with anyone suffering a debilitating physical injury or disease. I knew only strong, young, healthy people. As I became increasingly helpless and crippled myself, I was devastated emotionally as well as physically. Conventional avenues of remedy did not help me. The options I was given for relief, an array of drugs ranging from somewhat toxic to very toxic, to be taken the rest of my life, added to my sense of helplessness and hopelessness. I called the Arthritis Foundation for advice, hoping the staff could suggest alternative treatments or inform me of some innovative research programs. They said to follow my doctor's orders, that there was nothing beyond what he had told me. Mm. They were very concerned that I not become the victim of any of the multitude of quacks out there looking for desperate people like me to prey upon. They kindly sent me a catalog of prosthetic devices that enabled me to put on clothes and reach things without moving. Of course, everyone meant to be helpful, but I found this passive, function-without-movement approach very discouraging. I wanted to move again. I wanted to find a way to reconstruct a real life for myself out of the remnants of the old one. Now, 18 years later, the choices I made then have been vindicated by research showing that exercise is of primary importance to arthritis sufferers, that the drugs used to treat arthritis symptoms, cortisone derivatives and non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, weaken bone tissue and increase the incidence of ulcers. The Arthritis Foundation now offers its own exercise program in warm pools all over the United States.
Yeah. That's so inspiring, you know. I mean, it's, well, the whole book is very inspirational. You know, we'll talk more about exactly what the process was that you got into developing this style of work, but I'm wondering if we shouldn't go over for our listeners the difference between rheumatoid and osteoarthritis.
So. Osteoarthritis is the most common kind. Well, actually, there are 100 different kinds of conditions that are lumped under the term of arthritis. Arthritis simply means there's not enough space between your bones and the joint anymore. Mm. So if an x-ray shows less space than is usual, it's called arthritis. And this lack of space can either be from a wearing out of the cartilage or swelling, as in tendonitis or other forms of inflammation. But in osteoarthritis, that's the most common kind. That's the old folks mm-hmm. kind that we start developing after an injury. Even young people can mm-hmm. develop it after a ski injury or something like that. There's less space. Or people develop it from all kinds of things like, you know, falling down on their knees, the cartilage, you know,
trauma.
Breaks into pieces. Right,
yeah.
Trauma in
mm-hmm.
general. So even as a young person, you can develop osteoarthritis from trauma. But as we get older, 55, 60, 65, just the fact that we've been moving with a lot of strain in our lives, maybe mm-hmm. without attention to some light, free movement when we walk or when we carry things or when we do our household chores, then the space starts to disappear.
Yeah, there's some wear and tear. There's
right,
also changes in the muscles.
Right, wear and tear on the cartilage. Although, mm-hmm. lately, they've been thinking it's more than just wear and tear, that there actually are enzymes produced by the body that participate in that wear and tear, which makes it biochemical, and there are genetic predispositions.
Yes. Yes.
So, as always, nothing is as simple as it appears at first. Mm-hmm. Now, that's osteoarthritis, mm-hmm. very common, and it usually only involves a joint or two. Like the hip, very common to have your hip start hurting you around 60, 65. Your shoulder, fingers, any joint that's had a lot of improper use from improper movement through your life. But the kind of arthritis that I have, rheumatoid, is quite different. It's systemic. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that, it's a whole body disease. Or lupus also is another whole body disease.
So these are autoimmune diseases again?
Autoimmune. Psoriatic arthritis, another mm-hmm. common systemic. Or gout. Gout mm-hmm. is systemic as well. And this is where the joints hurt because there's some sort of war going on between parts of the body. Mm-hmm. In my type of arthritis, all the organs are affected. There's mm-hmm. a lot of inflammation. The synovial fluid produces in the war between the white blood cells and the red blood cells, the white blood cells of the immune system. Enzymes are produced which actually attack cartilage tissue in the joints, and that's how those joints are harmed. And it's a much more serious disease because the whole system is affected. Aches and pains everywhere, not just in joints.
What we're going to do is we're going to talk about Darlene's style of treatment plan, which is outlined in the book. But before we get into that, I'd like to just mention that, you know, one of the things we try to do with the show is to offer help to people who don't have access to health care because of financial restrictions. So I'm wondering whether this book represents a treatment plan that someone can follow without instruction.
Yes, I think that's very important because I think that arthritis is such a chronic, insidious disease that you basically have to heal it 24 hours a day. So if you go to your physical therapist or your doctor, your body worker, or your masseuse once a week, or your acupuncturist, that's an hour and a half to 2 hours of treatment a week, and it's just not enough. So I've developed a system of self-healing because of my belief that you need to devote your life to healing some disease as chronic as this, as difficult as this, and my book details that, that you people have trouble doing exercise routines.
No kidding.
I think the statistics show that people don't stick to them very long because they're routine. That's just
routine.
So you need to actually, I think the most effective movement you can do is your everyday task, to learn to do them in a way that heals you rather than strains you.
But just going back to my question, I'm wondering, for those people who are really restricted in treatment, can they use your book in lieu of some, I mean, obviously people are not going to, you need a diagnosis.
Yes.
But beyond that, does this begin to take the place of maybe repetitive treatment visits to a healthcare provider?
Yes. Now, I am in favor of getting checkups.
Yes.
On a regular basis. But as far as the treatment, yes, I lay out all over the book a treatment plan that you can do yourself in terms of diet, exercise, psychological factors, and finding a warm pool for very reasonable charge can help you quite a bit.
For those of you who are just tuning into the show, I want to remind you that this is Your Own Health and Fitness here on KPFA, and we're doing a special show called Arthritis, Using Your Everyday Life as a Healing, with Darlene Cohn, who is an author and a body worker, and we'll be taking calls at about 12:30. Let's talk about the book some. You outline in the book what you call factors involved in self-healing, and I'd like you to start by talking about what you call sinking into the body's wisdom.
Yes. Well, this is the beginning of self-healing, that you actually learn from your body how to proceed. And most of us have to learn from our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Our culture puts a great emphasis on the production of goods and being in our heads, planning and thinking. But we have to go to somewhere else to find the healer, and that's deep in our body sensation. For an example, let's say you're going to walk to the bank to make a withdrawal. And you walk along, and what do you think? And you notice that you have a pain in your
mm-hmm.
hip.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk along, and you shift your walking a little bit, and you start to be a little troubled by it. Now, what approach do you think would be most effective as you walk along to the bank? Thinking about what's going to happen when you get in line. Are you going to get that teller that irritates you all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to actually be able to afford to make this withdrawal? Will it leave you with enough money to cover your rent? Or do you walk along and actually feel how it feels to walk? The breeze against your cheek, the sights that strike your eyes, the feeling of your clothes against your body, and that pain in your hip, you can make adjustments. Does it hurt just when you step on that foot? Or is it relieved if you shift your gait a little bit and make the weight, your weight go all over your whole foot and knee? So which do you think, what information, what thought patterns are going to be most effective in helping you take care of that pain? Of course, sinking into your body and letting it tell you what relieves the pain and what exacerbates the pain. So
yeah,
that's the beginning.
I think that one of the difficulties that people who are, well, I think all of us have been discouraged in a sense of quiet, you know, from quietude. I mean, our lives have gotten pretty speedy and distracted. But even aside from people's not being used to a sense of quietude or a sense of embodiment, I think the other issue is that if you're in pain, your mind is like shooting out of your body instead of into it. And what you seem to be suggesting is that by recognizing and having some kind of dialogue or conversation with the discomfort, that you can get some clues about how to relieve it, actually.
And not only that, I think you can actually enlist your brain in finding a solution. If you notice in what postures, what movements, what very particular, precise events stimulate or decrease your pain, then your brain becomes an ally in trying to find a solution. This is neurological.
Yes, no, I agree. There's tons of studies have been done on this. The next concept that I remember from talking to you in the past is my favorite, which is this experience of joy and pleasure and how that gives you a sense of mastery or control of your situation. So let me just let you talk about that, because I love it when you talk about the experience of joy.
Well, it's very important. You know, when I first started out trying to deal with my own very severe rheumatoid arthritis and was floundering around, I was very lucky to find instruction in movement. I was very lucky that I was instructed on how to ease my joints, how to loosen them, and then began to do strengthening of them after that process. So I had full range of motion and then could strengthen my body again, which was very wasted after months of not being able to move. So I was very fortunate in that. But over the years, I've found that it's not just movement, even though movement is very, very important. Pleasure and relaxation are paramount. And whenever a client begins to work with me and who has great pain, I say, in order to work with me, you're going to have to devote the rest of your life to the relentless pursuit of pleasure.
And you should explain what you mean by that, because you're not talking about it. You're talking about, even in the most simple way, you're talking about the most simple pleasures, all the way up, I'm sure, you know, all of them. But it's so difficult for people to do that. We don't feel permission to do that. So
it is.
Talk about that a little
and
bit.
And why I'm so dramatic about it and say relentless pursuit is because a wishy-washy pursuit won't do.
Yeah.
If you wait till after you finish the dishes, after you take care of your annoying relatives, you know, after you do your task, before you have your pleasure, it's not going to work.
Mm.
You're going to have to give, now that you have some chronic illness, you're going to have to give your body, your health, your state of mind priority for the rest of your life and put your creativity into building pleasure into everything you do, including your dishes and your annoying relatives, which I talk about in my book about how to do that. But not only that, there are several aspects of pleasure, not only your fun, your joy, your bliss, much is said about that, although not enough. You can never say enough about fun. Figuring out what it is that gives you fun and building it into your life. But I also mean it turns out that a very important aspect of pleasure is the kind of mastery and empowerment you feel in your life. In fact, researchers now say that is the most important biochemical thing you can do for yourself. So what do I mean by that? Well, when you develop a chronic disease, like arthritis or back problems or whatever, the first thing you feel is the betrayal of your body. Your body is no longer your slave. It has rebelled, and so you feel a loss of control. You can't do the things you used to do. You can't work in the mindless way that you used to work. So it's very important for your biochemistry that you reestablish control as soon as possible. And what I mean by that is that you begin to take responsibility for your own healing. Yes, go to your doctor. Yes, get advice from your physical therapist, your body worker, whatever health practitioner you choose, but you are the one ultimately who is going to decide what weight their advice has for you, what you're going to do with their advice, how you're going to proceed based on your own body and your own temperament. You have to take responsibility. It's a very different blood chemistry that's produced by taking responsibility than by passively handing yourself over to someone.
There were some very, I mentioned this the last time I interviewed you, there was a very interesting study done on helplessness with mice, which is, I hate when they do this, but...
mice.
Yeah, no, I hate it when they use animals.
Mouse pie.
But yeah. No, they didn't do that. They didn't actually kill them. But what they noticed was that if they put some mice in water and they, you know, were swimming to survive, and then they picked the mice up, the mice that they held, you know, the mice struggled and bit and stuff. If they held the mice... And after they started biting, released them and put them back in the water, the mice would swim forever to save their lives. If they didn't, if they held the mice against their trying to get away and then put them in the water, the mice stopped trying. So what they, I don't know why you have to do an experiment to figure this out, but anyway, what they proved scientifically is that helplessness is as you say, is core to survival, is whether or not someone feels helpless or empowered, that sense is core to the survival of the animal.
Yes, and I think it's core to healing as well, mm-hmm. that there's a different biochemistry created by actively
yes.
participating in
yes.
your own healing.
Not being passive. Let's move on to some of what I was talking about, although you have a slightly different spin on it, and you talk about rest, and you talk about the challenge and release concept.
Yes, basically that is rest. There's a whole chapter of my book devoted to it, and people always ask me, you know, how much rest do I need? When should I rest? Should I walk? Once you tap into your own body's wisdom, there's the answer. That your body will tell you how far to go, when to rest. And the reason I put rest in that complex words of challenge and release is because I actually mean that you can build rest into your ordinary mm-hmm. waking tasks. I mean, it's very clear. Everyone knows that you can take a long walk and then sit on a park bench. I don't have to tell anyone that. It's much more interesting to think about walking itself. Where is the rest in the steps that you take? Well, from the joints' point of view, the rest is when you lift your leg in the air. The challenge is when you put your foot back down and take the impact of that step into all the bones of your leg and hip. But when the foot is in the air, it's getting that rest. And when I first used to walk, just after I was able to get out of bed, when I was very sick, I could only walk a half a block or so. I would just be exhausted, have to sit down before I could return to my home. But I found just by focusing on the step when my leg was in the air and thinking of that as walking, mm-hmm. that it increased my stamina mm-hmm. about 50% mm-hmm. without changing the way I walked at mm-hmm. all. Now that was a major mm-hmm. insight, realizing lifting dishes to the cupboard. It's the same thing. The challenge is putting the plates in, but once they're in, you can just drop your arm
yes.
and then go
and
get
enjoy
another.
Enjoy it. And actually
right.
enjoy it, you
exactly.
know, in lieu of your relentless pursuit of pleasure.
But most people huff and puff. They
yes.
lift the
yes.
dishes and hold their arms in that
uh-huh.
same stiff position
yes.
instead of just letting them
letting
fall.
Them release.
So you can divide your mm-hmm. chores into rest periods while you do them.
Well, and in fact, you're also, again, talking about a state of concentration and a state of awareness. And I remember hearing somebody interviewed about, there's a man who wrote a book about spontaneous healings, and he said the first step for people who are ill in terms of healing is to really accept that they are sick.
Yes, and that's so
and
difficult.
And it's so hard to do, because we've all been taught to be sort of warriors and to fight, you know, again, well, I won't give in to this, you know. But the point is that when you do say, okay, this is really going on, and then you begin to have this sense of concentration and quietude, the lessons are enormous, as far as I can tell. Let's move on to movement.
Yes. Movement is, I think, the most important aspects of self-healing are movement and pleasure, and not just any movement. You know, hauling your aching body up a flight of stairs is not what I mean by movement. Learning to walk upstairs with grace and spaciousness is what I mean by healing movement, and I think at first, when you're very debilitated, very full of pain, you have to do movements that actually move pain out of your body. Tiny little movements that are very specific to the area, and I have quite a section of my book on those movements for every joint. And it's also a pleasure in movement. You won't mm-hmm. do movements that aren't mm-hmm. pleasurable, and movements that aren't pleasurable aren't good for you.
Yes.
They aren't good for you. Certainly from the joints' point of view, pain as gain is not a valid thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever
well,
your
not,
joints
not,
are hurting.
Yeah, it's not valid anyway.
Oh, it's not valid
well,
anymore for
no,
muscles
well,
either?
You know, I will talk about this next week, but what I mean by that is that it is okay to fatigue a muscle if you're trying to get a muscle to develop, but if you're actually hurting the muscle, people who are not used to exercising perceive sometimes a level of intensity when they're working as pain, or that sort of some of the burn. But in fact, the concept that you have to be in pain while you're exercising to get development is truly not correct.
Well, it's very good to know that. I've always felt that arthritic pain is damaging pain.
Mm-hmm.
if you hurt while moving a joint,
yeah,
you should stop moving it in that way.
I agree.
Not stop moving.
Right.
I find that conventional advice to stop moving if you hurt to be extremely discouraging. I think substituting some other movement for the movement that hurts you is quite relevant.
I want to let people know that we are going to give out information at the end of the show. I think what we'll do is maybe in the calling section, or actually, you know what we might do is when we take a break at 12:30, when we come back from break, why don't you go in, those of you during the break, get some paper and pencil. We are going to give out some numbers and talk about some classes that Darlene offers, and also some things that are free that people can attend that are coming up. So we'll do that when we come back from the break before taking the calls. Your book is full of this sort of concept of using everyday activities from the point of view of protecting your joints and healing. So, in fact, one of the things you teach is not just healthy movement and how to move correctly in movement reeducation, but indeed how to brush your teeth and how to put on your clothes without hurting yourself.
That's right, because I think that our everyday movements are the most effective healing tool that we have. As I said, when you have a very chronic situation, you have to heal it 24 hours a day. And since we have to move anyway in the course of our daily lives, we might as well learn to move in ways that promote our basic well-being and stop moving in ways that detract from it.
And one of the things also I noticed in your book is that you talk about the fact that there is, and this is true in exercise too, that if you do chronic, or people who work very hard, people sometimes say to me, why bother to exercise? And what I explain to them is that if you have an active life, that's good. But if you're doing gardening and work outside and various things, those are repetitive movements that you do the same way over and over and over again. And those are wearing to the body. The body likes change.
Not only the body, but the brain.
The brain likes change.
In fact, you can judge your exercises that maybe you're doing now. You can judge how effective they are by how stimulated you feel afterward.
Mm-hmm.
How stimulated you are to do movements that you didn't do before. If it's the same old routine and you're not any more mobile after your exercise routine, it's not doing you any good anymore.
Hmm. Well, you know, for those of you who just tuned in, we are talking with Darlene Cohn. We're doing a special show called Arthritis, using your everyday life as a healing. This is your own health and fitness show, and I'm Lena Berman. We're going to open up the phone lines to take your calls. We're going to start playing some music in a moment here. And I want to tell you that the number to participate in the show with your questions here in on KPFA is 510-848-4425. Again, that's 510-848-4425. I'd like to remind callers to please turn down your radio when we take your calls on the air to avoid feedback. Again, this is your own health and fitness show. I'm Lena Berman with Darlene Cohn, and we'll be right back.
Like the seeds of the weeds in an autumn wind, we meddled in midair and fell together in a patch of ground and grew to be a pair. But not a pair. Much too
for the handicapped. Again, you can call that number and ask me about those classes.
Repeat the number, of course.
415-552-5695. And in 2 weeks, Saturday, August 26th, I'm going to give a workshop for arthritis in which we'll talk about pain control, we'll do a variety of those little movements for every joint, and we'll do everyday situations, chopping vegetables, watching TV, washing dishes, to see how to move during that. And again, you can call the number to ask me details about that or leave your address on that machine and I'll send you a flyer. And then in September, I'm going to do a series of classes at St. Mary's Medical Center in San Francisco called Suffering and Delight, Stress and Pain Reduction Through Meditation. Again, 415-552-5695. And indicate when you leave a message what kind of information you'd like me to give you.
Thanks, Darlene. Okay, again, this is Your Own Health and Fitness, a show on KPFA with a show called Arthritis, Using Your Everyday Life as a Healing. We're opening up the phone lines. Those of you who haven't already called in, even though the phone banks are blinking, it's 510-848-4425, 510-848-4425, and we'll start taking your calls right now. So, our first caller, you're on KPFA with Lena Berman and Darlene Cohen. Do you have a question for us?
Hello, is that me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We have rheumatoid arthritis in my family rather strong, and I'm 31, and I haven't had any major symptoms yet, except for my eyes, and I have a constant chronic low-grade inflammation in my eyes.
Yes.
It flares up occasionally. So if you had any insight about that, my joints are pretty good. And the other thing is, what can I do at this point where the only place it's manifested is in my eyes to prevent it from manifesting further, and if your workshops are a thing that I need to do?
Yes, I think that's a very good question. Because...
Go ahead. Yeah.
I can see the answer there.
Thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, because you have a chance now to prevent some very serious damage to your joints. So what I would recommend, perhaps you've already experimented with your diet a little bit or with supplements, is mainly you want to keep the inflammation from spreading. And even in your eyes, you want to keep the inflammation down. And basically, the way you do that is you move in such a way, such a spacious way, your neck and shoulders, that you keep the blood flowing very liberally to your head. That's very good. In fact, I used to wear glasses, but when I started doing my exercises, my eyes improved to such a point that that was just incidental. And again, that's blood flow to the head, keeping that swelling down.
Thanks. That was a good question. We have a few other callers on the line. Let's take another one. Caller, you're on KPFA Live. Do you have a question for us today? Hello, caller, you're on the line. Do you have a question? Let's try taking a different line then. You're on the line with KPFA. Do you have a question for us today?
Oh, yeah, I do. I do therapeutic body work, too, with people with back pain. And it seems pretty clear that people who come in are either able to do a daily exercise for 5 or 10 minutes, or they have plenty of reasons why not, like they're too busy or they can't make the time or they don't make the time. Are there some things that you found to be effective with people who say, I know I can exercise, I know I should exercise, I know I would benefit from it, I know I should change my life, but I just can't make myself do it? Like, how do you support people in making that kind of a change?
Well, I think that exercise has to be pleasurable. It has to be stimulating and actually a worthwhile pursuit for people to do it regularly. Of course, none of us wants to do mind-numbing routines that are a drag. So I think if there's some way to build pleasure into exercise, like concentrating on breathing, or to feel that the spaciousness is surrounding you, using relaxation as an aspect of it, that's certainly one way to do it. And also, for people in a lot of pain, self-massage, actually, if there is a direct result of doing the movement, which is that the pain goes away, I think this is very motivating for people. Yes.
Yeah, in addition to that, I've noticed that if exercises are tailored to an individual's actual anatomy, in other words, if it's not just an exercise that you think will work, but an exercise that you can observe by the way that they're holding their bodies, mm-hmm. will open up their bodies. That when it's very specific so that people can really feel what's going on, getting them to really feel it seems to also keep people interested, in my experience.
Yes, any kind of movement that enriches, obviously enriches one's life, is the kind of exercise that people will pursue when they feel that there's another level mm-hmm. of life, of sensation being added to their lives. They are much more willing to do that. I've had, like you, many clients who came, oh no, I can't. And then when they started doing it, said, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'll give up my weekly card game.
Yeah, I really think that that's true, that there is something that really clicks for some people, and you visit them 3 or 4 times, and on the 5th time they say, I found it. It's doing this exercise this way. I just made it up myself, and it really works.
Oh, you know, that is a very good point. When someone can dip into their own body wisdom to the extent that they can make up their own exercises, well, they're off and running.
Mm-hmm.
That's really where you would like to get clients to be.
Well, I really like your idea of making a person's everyday activities part of their recovery. That just makes it so integrated, and the self-maintenance aspect of it is really neat, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think basically arthritis is about space. You don't have enough in your joints, so you have to get it every way you can, psychically, emotionally, geographically, through pleasure. If you can create space in other ways, too, and that is definitely doing chores from that spacious point of view, including your body, all the levels of your sensitivity, your sensation, your whole psychic, your whole psychology, this is the way to go.
Yeah.
Caller, I really want to thank you for your call.
Yes, very good question.
Very good question. Thanks
so much.
You're
going to repeat your title of your book, aren't you, Darlene?
I certainly will. Thanks again for your call.
Thanks.
Arthritis. Stop suffering, start moving.
For those of you who want to participate in the show with questions, the number again is 510-848-4425. 510-848-4425. There are some lines open now. And we are talking with Darlene Cohen about arthritis, using your everyday life as a healing. Incidentally, some of these concepts are also important for people who are ill in other ways. I mean, I think that anybody who's suffering from any kind of chronic illness can also benefit from some of the concepts in this book. I see we have a few more callers on the line. Let's go to them right now. Caller, you're on KPFA with Lena Berman. Do you have a question?
Yeah. Do you know other therapists who practice this kind of body work from that perspective, so that maybe a person who doesn't have arthritis can make use of that stance you talked about just to prevent chronic illness?
Yes, I do. In fact, I think that therapists who approach your body personally, just like Lena was referring to a little while ago, and see you as an individual and what you need to do to heal, as opposed to just having a standard approach that they run on everyone, I think such a therapist is a very great find. And if you want to call me, I could actually recommend someone in your area.
Does that answer your question, caller?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Let's move on to another caller. You're on KPFA. Do you have a question for us?
Hello, is this me?
Yes, this is you.
Good. I wanted to ask about heat. Let me turn this off. About using heat or cold there.
For arthritis pain?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Darlene?
What are you referring to specifically? What kind of pain do you have?
I have both osteo and rheumatic.
Oh, my.
Oh, boy, you got a double whammy.
Yeah.
Well, where you have swelling, cold is very effective.
Mm-hmm.
That's true of all kinds of swelling,
yes.
From injury or whatever. Cold for a short period of time until the area that you've put the ice on or the frozen peas, whatever mm-hmm. you're using, until that area, you leave it on for a few minutes, it feels very cold, and then you take the cold off until it feels warm again before you reapply it. You shouldn't leave the cold on
mm-hmm.
for very long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in osteoarthritis, where there's a lot of aching of muscles around a joint and there's no swelling, I think heat is quite effective for that. To put your heating pad on your shoulder or whatever. But again, we're not talking about a long, long period of time. People shouldn't sleep on their sleeping bags, on their heating pads,
yeah.
Right? Is there anything more you'd like?
Yes, thank you.
Does that help?
Yes, thank you very much. In terms of diet, are there no-nos things?
Yeah, I think there are. Aren't there, Diane?
Yeah, in fact, thanks for asking that question. Yeah. I'd like to go into it.
Some people, have mentioned nightshades, and this is not good for arthritis. And I'd like to go on now.
Yes. Well, of course, the classic arthritis diet has been very well delineated in Dr. Dong's book and in many other sources that there are no-nos. Nightshade is one of them.
She wants you to repeat the name of the doctor.
Dr. Dong, D-O-N-G. He's written a classic arthritis diet book.
Dr. Dong, D-O-N-G.
Yes, and he's from the Bay Area as well.
First name.
I don't remember, but if you go into a health food store or the arthritis section of your bookstore, you should be able to find it.
I don't think Darlene knows the name. Caller, you know what we're going to do is let her respond to your question about diet, and we'll have you just take the answer on the air. So we're gonna thank you for your call, and she'll go ahead and answer these questions now about the nutrition.
This is a big individual variation is how much diet will affect you. So the reason I mentioned Dr. Dong's book is it's a good starting point. It tells you no citrus, no nightshade, no meat, no fat, no sugar, no alcohol, all those things and more, and then gives you a very good diet of grains and vegetables and et cetera. So that's a starting point, but everybody is different. And, in fact, I find that I can eat anything I want except when I'm actually having flare-ups, and then I specifically can't eat certain things. But I have found that, in general, if you have a chronic degenerative disease, to deprive yourself, to go on a rigid diet and deprive yourself so that you feel bad about the fact that you can't eat the things you like, this is not a good approach. What I personally do is I spend 5 days a week being very careful about what I eat and eating the foods I know are good. And the weekends, I completely go berserk. I just pig out. I just eat everything that gives me pleasure. And so I try to cover all the bases with that. Of course, if you're in a flare-up, then you have to be careful right then because you can't eat sugar or salt. That exacerbates swelling. So during a flare-up, you should be very careful.
So the list of foods that to avoid during a flare-up are?
Well, it's individual again.
Okay.
But basically, sugar, salt, fat, anything that's hard to digest, and amounts of food, because when you're having a flare-up, your whole system, even with osteoarthritis, your system is working very hard to clear waste product from your body.
Yeah.
So if you put more waste into it, it just makes that poor, overworked system worse.
So small amounts.
Amounts and good, easily digested.
Yeah, easily digested. We have some lines open. The number again is 510-848-4425, 510-848-4425. This is a special show. I'm Lena Berman. This is Your Own Health and Fitness. We're doing a show called Arthritis, Using Your Everyday Life as a Healing, and I'm with Darlene Cohn answering questions. And I see we have some callers on the line. Caller, you're on KPFA with us. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Let me just turn down the radio. I have fibromyalgia, which I understand afflicts a lot of women, and I might be developing arthritis, and my dentist is concerned about autoimmune disease because I'm losing my teeth, but do you have anything about the muscular pain and diet? That got my ear, too.
Yes, fibromyalgia is actually a concomitant of many immunodiseases, and it certainly is a rheumatoid arthritis. And again, it's inflammation of tissue. And so the rules or the guidelines for reducing swelling in the body go for you double. It's, as you know, pain all over the body. It's extremely fatiguing, extremely uncomfortable. Yes, very hard to sleep with all that pain. So again, very gentle and specific movement to clear the body.
Yeah.
To clear the body of.
I am a
the swelling.
I ride my bicycle around. That's how I get around, and that seems to sort of, I stay fairly fit and healthy.
That's good, but you need more specific movements for specific pains, small little movements. And you also need to watch your diet as far as salt and sugar and foods that are difficult to digest when you're having a flare-up, certainly.
I thank you for saying this about flare-ups, because a friend has had me. I've been really watching wheat, dairy, sugar this whole year, and I think it has made a definite difference, certainly to fatigue levels.
Yes.
Certainly to quite a lot of things. But I noticed it was erratic, and I hadn't been able to figure out the connection. And you're saying flare-ups, and this gives me somewhere, because you've got so many symptoms, trying to see the pattern is so difficult with some of these illnesses.
Yeah, it really
yes,
is.
But it's very worthwhile if you can figure it out.
Well, thank you so much for your help.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
My experience working with, I work with fibromyalgia clients from time to time. Some doctors are treating with magnesium, testing first to see if they're low, and that seems to be helping. But stretching and movement is absolutely crucial.
It clears the, it
absolutely
increases
crucial.
Circulation.
Yeah, no, clearly. We've got some more callers on the line. I want to try to get a few more in before we end the show. Caller, you're on the line with KPFA. This is Your Own Health and Fitness. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Could you tell me why parsley, which I have been eating for a year and a half, has totally taken the pain out of my body? I eat two bunches a week, and it costs me about $1 a week, and I have no pain whatsoever. That has been going on for a year and a half.
That is great. You're a very fortunate woman.
Yes.
And I think that people get these immune systems for very, very different reasons. You know, some people it's activated by allergy, some people stress, some people injury, some people a traumatic event. And I think that's why we are so different in what helps us. And in your case, parsley, oh, it's so wonderful. You can even feel it cleaning your body when you eat
chlorophyll.
It. And I congratulate you for having found something so effective for you.
Let's move on because we're running out of time. Let's get a few more callers on. We need you to be brief. Caller, do you have a question for us?
Hello?
Yes. Do you have a real quick question for us?
Very quick. I'd like to know about swelling in my ankles and my feet, my legs. Do you have any idea? This is years and years of this problem.
Yes.
Having arthritis, this is what a big problem.
It becomes very chronic, and my experience of working with clients is that it actually comes from the hips. If you're having swelling in your legs and ankles and feet, then there's a blockage in your hips, and you need to consult someone and begin to move your lower back, your upper back, and your hips in a way that will help clear that swelling.
That's wonderful. We've got a few more callers. Let's get a few more quick ones on here. Caller, you're on the air with KPFA. You have a real quick one for us?
Yes, thanks. What do you know about shingles?
Shingles is caused by...
herpes.
Nerve. It's a nerve stimulation.
Uh-huh.
Overstimulation of the nerves.
Uh-huh. Well, and I thought it was also caused by herpes. It's a type of herpes, yeah. L-lysine
right.
is real good for that, too.
Other than herpes as well.
Oh, it can. You can
yes.
get shingles from other things.
Right.
Actually, you know, we're not doctors, so this is kind of a little off
the... regardless, but what can be good for that?
I think that you'll have to actually consult your doctor.
Yeah, we're a little off our subject. Thanks for the call, though. Let's get some more callers on. A real quick question, KPFA, you're on with us. You got a quick one?
If I am exposed to the least bit of cold, I get the worst pain in my elbow, my wrist. At night, I have to just completely cover it up with my pillow. Not any little bit of myself can be exposed. And even on a hot day, if there's the least bit of cold way down deep in the atmosphere, my arm will just pick it right up. Is that some kind of arthritis? And
It could well be. I think that it's very worthwhile seeing if a little massage... when you have that situation, and I'm talking about very gentle, enough to move the blood, just gently rubbing your arm and elbow enough to move the blood through to see if that warms it up internally. I think that is something to try.
Let's get, I think, maybe only one more caller on. We'll give it a try. Let's see if we can get through a couple callers. Caller, you're on KPFA. Do you have a real quick question for us?
Yes, I do. I have chronic fatigue syndrome, have had it for about 8 years. And I've really tried, I've tried exercise, I've tried several different practitioners and so forth. And I have people in my life, though, who keep hounding me that, well, if only I would try harder, if only I would exercise more and more. And I think both things are true. I think you do have to have willpower, but I think that there also are limitations when someone has something like this. How would you address that?
I want to thank you for your call. What I'd like to tell you is what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, is that resting is crucial. If you do exercise, it has to be enough exercise to make you feel better, and then you stop. You don't go past feeling better. Don't go into fatigue. The rest is absolutely crucial. If you don't get enough rest, you can't exercise. And that means that you won't be able to challenge your limits. Do you agree with me on that, Darlene?
Yes, and I would like to add that when you develop some chronic disease, you get lots of advice.
Yes!
And I think that you need to dip into your body to develop your body's wisdom, and your friends mean to be helpful, but it's your own body that you get your answers from.
I'm going to take one more caller, and then we're going to have to call it quits. This is going to have to be a real quick caller. Do you have a question for us on KPFA?
Are there vitamins that are especially good for arthritis?
Yeah. Thanks for your call.
I think, again, it's individual, but as a general rule, anything that cleans your blood of swelling will be helpful. That's vitamin E, vitamin C, all the antioxidants, eating cauliflower, broccoli, etc., are very helpful.
I want to thank everybody for your calls. This was quite a good show. Darlene, thank you so much for coming.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Why don't you give your number out real quick again?
415-552-5695. Leave your name and address and why you called, and I will send you something.
Thank you so much for coming in. Everybody, run out and get this book, Arthritis, and what is the subtitle again?
Stop Suffering, Start Moving, Everyday Exercises for Your Body and Mind.
Darlene Cohn, thanks again. I want to thank you all for listening and participating in the show. I want to let you know that the engineers for Your Own Health and Fitness are Jade Alburo and Kevin Cartwright. If you have questions about what you heard on the show today, you can call me during business hours during the week at my office. I'm Lena Berman, and my number is 707-769-1458, 707-769-1458. Now, if you're interested in getting a taped copy of the show or any of our past shows, you can send a check for $10 to me. Please indicate which show you'd like, and remember to include your mailing address. Send these, the check and the letter, to Lena, L-A-Y-N-A, Berman, B-E-R-M-A-N, P.O. Box 2714, Petaluma, California, 94953. 2714 is the box number, Petaluma 94953. Next week at noon, I'll be back with a show called The Dangers of Underresting and Overtraining. Exercise, what's smart and what's not. We'll be talking to you, I will be talking to you alone and taking your questions on the air next week as we explore the science of exercise. Tomorrow on Brainstorm, Theater of the Imagination with Dr. Clarissa Pecola Estes. Don't miss it. I'm Lena Berman, and this has been Your Own Health and Fitness Talk Show on KPFA 94.1 FM. See you next week.